coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who knows the cool kids table is always where I am not seated. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode number 2, recap. Very excited to be here with you. And we are very excited to welcome in a special guest with us here into the studio. Please welcome back to the podcast, the great Bradley Kleige is here. Bradley.
Hey, Rob.
How are you? How are you? Very excited.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you here with us to talk about everything that's going on the Island of the Idols.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited. We have a new season of Survivor. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, and you had reached out a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, want to come on, want to talk about this season. So I am always very excited when the survivors reach out to me. That's a huge thing for me. And it makes me excited that, oh, you want to be here, because I feel like I'm bothering everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I watched and listened to RHAP long before I was on Survivor. So it's always exciting to come. You know, a little bit more of the dream of not only getting to be on the show, but still get to be a part of it. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, Bradley, excited to have you here. A lot to talk about. We've got our Survivor Know-It-Alls last night. And you even said you listened to Survivor Know-It-Alls this week.
I did. Yeah, I listened to it in the car right here.
Yes. How Stephen was on point, right? Stephen seemed good?
I think so. Yeah, it's good like always.
Are you going to hang out with Stephen Fishback now that he's in LA?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask Stephen.
Yes. Have you ever met Stephen Fishback?
I have not. No. I've talked to Stephen a few times, conversed back and forth, but I didn't know he'd moved out to LA until I listened to Know It All.
He's brand new here. He's only here a couple of days. So,
So I've extended the olive branch and we'll see if we hang out.
And of course, I had my exit interview with Molly Byman this morning. Did you have a chance to listen to Molly?
I did not, no, but I feel kind of bad for her. She's a law student, didn't do that well.
Okay, so. Well, we want to get your take on everything with Molly. And then our voicemail show is coming up over the weekend with Shannon Gates. Everybody should get their feedback questions in with Shannon, plus the Wiggle Room and more. Do you Wiggle Room? You don't like the songs. It's too silly. Right.
Yeah. You know, I got burnt on it. There was a couple of songs like, oh, Sandley, he's so dirty or annoying and complains. Yeah. I was like, I'm done.
You're over.
Yeah.
I have to say, for anybody who's listening to the audio and not watching this video, Bradley has come right from work and looks very sharp.
Yep. I'm an attorney now, for better or for worse.
So what happened? So you went to Survivor, and I thought that you went to Survivor because you had some second thoughts about going into full-time lawyering. Was that sort of like that this was like your Amish Rumspringa of I'm going to get away from law, and then you had your crazy time and now you're back?
Yeah, kind of. So yeah, I hated law school from 2 weeks in. I should have turned around and ran away, but I was like, nope, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing this. And then it was amazing. I got to go on Survivor. It was awesome. I was there for 8 weeks, then went on what I refer to as like the world tour, saw all sorts of other people from my season for a couple months after that. And then I had to go back to law school for my last year, and it was devastating.
Yeah, because I thought really you were tough. At one point talking about you wanted to teach.
Yep, I still think teaching
history
would be
teacher,
fun.
Right?
Yeah, I almost ended up working on The Bachelor, the season that just started filming.
Bachelor in Paradise or Regular Bachelor?
Regular Bachelor,
yes. Yep. Okay, what would you have done?
Been a story producer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So I thought that would have been fun, but in the end, I decided maybe that wasn't quite consistent enough. Right now, I have a good job, and it's fun enough. I get to go to court a few days a week.
Yeah.
I'm to the point where I'm in front of the same judges all the time and they know who I am and it's a lot of fun.
Is being a lawyer something that you could just pick up and stop doing? I think about things having a skill I can, lawyer for 6 months and then I can do something else. Or do you have to once you pick up being a lawyer, you need to stick with it. You can't start and stop.
I think it's definitely a lot easier if you pick it, you keep going, because you develop a lot of specialized knowledge, right? So in school and on the bar exam, it's all general. You have to know everything. But so what I do is trust in probate litigation and trust in probate administration. And so, that's
not prospate.
Prospate.
Jeff Prospate.
Oh, no. I hope he has an estate plan. Otherwise, sure, I'll drag his ashes through the probate court. We'll get it through. But
fire does represent life, and you know,
and yep.
Yeah.
Didn't have much at that point.
Yes. Okay. I don't even know where it's talking about. Okay. So you're happy.
Yeah. It's all good. It's fun. It's nice to be out of school for right now. I mean, there are things that I miss. I miss not having the school schedule, right? I came back from Labor Day and I was like, okay, new year, here we go. And everyone in the office was like, well, it's almost the holidays. What are you talking about? And it's mm-hmm. like, no, in my mind, you know, first week of September is when everything slows back down. And then all summer I was itching to travel all the time, and everyone's like, no, that's not how it works in real life,
right?
And so I'm trying to adjust to that awful schedule of 2 weeks of vacation a year, but yeah, for now it works and it's not bad. I like my coworkers. Mm-hmm. They make good drinking buddies after work, so yeah, we have a fun time. A Russian guy brought a bottle of scotch to work today because we were holding on to 10,000 of his dollars.
Yes.
And he wanted them back. So
a client.
Well, not a client, but somebody trying to buy one of our clients' houses. And so he thought he would give us scotch in exchange for his money. And we're like, well, we'll take the scotch, but we're going to keep it.
And you're not drunk right now.
No, not at all. No, God, no. I drove far too far to come. Yeah.
All right, Bradley, let's talk about what's going on here on the Island of the Idols. Did you enjoy the first two episodes so far?
I did, yeah. I think the theme is ridiculously hokey, but in mm-hmm. a highly entertaining way.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I don't know what Rob and Sandra are doing there.
Mm-hmm. I know. They're quizzing people. Well, they're testing people.
But the questions were very easy. I could have answered them just following the two of them on Facebook.
Yeah, I didn't get anything wrong in the questions.
So it was a little sad because one of the dogs died while she was there. Backstory. Yeah, I was like, oh, I hope she doesn't guess Rio.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Rio.
Wow. You knew the name. Look at you.
She posts about these dogs on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. You're friends with her all the time. Which Sandra's great. I think it's funny, the massive heads and whatever.
Have you met Sandra before?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, where at Hearts of Reality?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what did she say? Was she a fan of yours?
She was, yeah. Luckily, we had the same handler on the pre-merge trips.
Oh.
So he kind of connected us.
Connected you.
Like, oh, you guys would get along.
Yeah.
You're both cranky and like to be in charge.
Mm-hmm. What about Boston Rob?
I've not met him.
Yeah, because
I think it'd be fun.
As this was pointed out to me, that you referenced even Boston Rob.
In fact,
in your season, I believe I have the clip.
I'm trying to play like a Boston Rob or Kim Spradlin, you know, somebody that's got the numbers and is in control and just needs to keep the ducks in a row.
Now, it's something like you feel like that maybe it shouldn't be Sandra's head as the other head there. Should it be Kim?
Oh. Yeah, you know, according to Ghost Island Bradley, maybe that's the case, but I have not met
You've
Kim
evolved.
In real life. Yeah.
You've evolved.
Oh, yeah. I love Sandra. She is salty and calls it how she sees it. And also, did you watch the clip that Survivor maybe posted on their Instagram or something where they were about their backs hurting, sleeping on the bamboo? They're like, oh, God, we're getting too old for this. And then they like hobble down to the beach.
Oh, Rob and Sandra?
Hilarious.
Yeah,
yes.
I'll look for that before the feedback show.
It's really funny.
Okay. All right. We had a crazy vote last night where it ended up being Molly being the target of the vote. Bradley, what did you make of this? Was this too much, too fast? Should they have taken the sure thing there with voting out Nora or Jason?
I mean, I guess the answer would be, of course, yeah, you should have taken the sure thing if it didn't work, but it worked. And so I think Lauren played it brilliantly. Mm-hmm. I think she did a really good job of surveying the situation, realizing that there were some people that thought they were on the top and she could take people that were on the bottom and make a move. And I think it's somebody like Molly is dangerous. Molly's smart. Seemed like maybe there was a little problem with her getting along with everybody, thinking she was a little bit better. I may know a little bit about that. And mm-hmm. She played from, I think what her position was a middle position and she rallied the troops and it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, if you're in the middle in this group of 10, I know that in your Navidi tribe, it was like there was no middle, right? It was a clear cut 5 and 5, or were there a lot of people that could have gone either way?
Not many people that could have gone either way.
Okay.
I mean, we didn't vote, so I don't know how it would have shaken out, but
right. But
that's, I think, the accepted take.
It seemed like that in this group, there was a 3 on one side and a two on the other, and maybe five people in the middle deciding which way they wanted to go. And it seems like for this vote, they threw their lot in with Jason and Nora.
Yeah, it seemed like it. And you know what? I think that Jason put a target on his back early enough, and Nora's just nuts in a really fun to watch kind of way.
Yeah.
That they're easy to keep along because are either of them really a threat to do anything yet? I mean, Jason potentially, I think, could morph into somebody that finds his own and makes it past his day one going to look for the idol and not socializing and participating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a good move.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a fun move. I don't know necessarily what this looks like for this group the next time they have to go and vote somebody else.
So you think it would have been less dangerous for them to keep Molly than to vote out Nora?
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly it seems less dangerous. Yeah, because you've got to figure that they're going to, at some point, then you're going to go to three tribes. I mean, that's typically what I hope they
see, don't. That's the hard part. I love watching Survivor and everything, but the problem is when you swap constantly, right? We can sit here and we can talk about these scenarios, but
yeah,
if you just keep mixing people up constantly, like, where's the strategy?
I wish they wouldn't. I wish they'd leave it alone, let it run. Maybe do one swap, maybe when you get down to 14.
Yeah, sure. You know, sure, one swap, but not going down to where you have five people, because then, I mean, you really are. I was in that situation, but you're at the mercy of a very small group of people that they are handpicking you based on your psychological profile and your interviews, people that are probably going to clash and maybe not everyone mesh together. And
yeah,
and you shuffle everybody up constantly and you just can't get in a groove and run with it.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of fun to be had in these big tribes. And I think that going to three tribes actually ends up taking a lot of air out of the possibilities of what could happen. And you have this big group of 10 people, and there was a lot of different ways that it could have went. And even in your season that you guys had in your season, a very exciting second vote in your season, I know, which you were not a part of. Where then that was another I feel like that the first couple of Ghost Island tribal councils, I think, were, you know, pretty exciting.
Yeah, they were, for sure. Yeah. I mean, even the one where I almost went home.
Yeah. And then even you guys then were swapped, but it was still like the bigger tribes. I think that then when things get down to, okay, now we have three tribes of five people, I think that the gameplay gets a little stagnant. Like, I like that the unpredictable nature of the bigger tribes of two.
Yes, and I think it places a bigger burden on having to make those relationships and having to not burn all your bridges at one camp, because I actually think in a way with this very randomized Survivor where you swap all the time, it's almost easier to play from the bottom or it's very difficult to play from the top, because when you're from the top, then it's a very visible point and everyone has one target they can shoot at. But when you're kind of in the bottom, you can swap around and say, hey, I'm a number here. I'll work with you. I'll go with this side. And in a way, it's almost easier if you're just going to keep swapping all the time rather than being associated as a ringleader.
Do you think that this will turn out to have been a mistake for Lauren and for Janet and for Tommy, the people that seemed like the ringleaders for this move?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it was a good move. I think you have to be careful with people like Molly, right? I think she goes to Duke Law School. You know, she seems smart.
Yeah.
You got to be, I mean, you, on Survivor, right, there tends to be, you know, a handful of people that are just of normal smart, and then they always cast people that are very smart, and I think Molly fits into the latter category. And you
a James Lamb,
yeah, for
a
sure,
Squiggle,
yeah, absolutely. And so you have to be careful with those people. And yeah, does it suck? I mean, I know I was on there as a law student. I didn't make the merge, but it does make sense.
So you say identify the people that are the smartest people, and then work to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, okay. So if you were to take somebody, and I'm not saying any of these people are dumb necessarily, but they just don't seem to have the same sway as Molly, but you take somebody like Vince or somebody, right? Do you think the chances he's going to be able to rally a group and orchestrate a vote are better than Molly being able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Molly would be better, right?
Yeah. So, well, I feel like that's a little bit different than smart. Like, I don't know if
don't
that's
those kind of go hand in hand. Like, you can count, you know how many people you need, you know, you can evaluate like the strategy there.
Smart is not necessarily the same as sort of like somebody that can, you know, rally the troops.
I think on Survivor, they oftentimes go hand in hand.
Mm, certainly they can, but I think they could also be mutually exclusive.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I think that there's plenty of people that were smart that were just not able to move the numbers. They might know what the right numbers are, but they aren't necessarily.
For sure. So much of it depends on who you're with, right? Yeah. If you're just not socially jiving with them, good luck trying to get them to do anything, right? You have to be able to identify with the group, and that's where it gets a little bit tricky.
It did seem like a good call that Molly was somebody who was going to be able to do both those things, to be able to sort of like identify what the numbers were and also be able to get the group in place. Like she was like a real threat to go far.
Yeah, I think so. And it brings up the question that you posed with Steven, talking about everybody labeling, you know, these young female players as a poverty 2-point or 3-point or whatever, you know, And it's interesting because I don't think, I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong on this, but when I think of poverty, I don't think of her as being someone that's overtly in charge and super flashy. I think there's a level of charisma there, but there's also a level of she's able to hide her machinations and kind of package them up. And we seem to label anyone that shows any life as poverty, and I don't think that's fair to her.
To poverty.
Yeah. Now, I've never met her. You know, I'm going solely off of what I've seen on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, did she have the potential? Sure. But I think Molly was less charming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was not charming, but I think it's two different playing fields. There's a way where poverty could play it off as I'm laid back. I'm not, don't worry about me. And then you should be worried about me.
Now, we got a lot of questions from people asking you about, okay, well, hold on. Is Molly Poverty 2.0? Or as you and our good friend Dominic Abate talked about, is Libby actually Poverty 2.0?
Hmm. I mean, I will give Libby credit. She did vote
Who
for me.
Who is more poverty-like, Libby or Molly?
This is tough. I think Libby had it in the way of she didn't disarm you. She made you feel comfortable. She made you think she was going along. She was hard to read. All of those things I feel like are traits you might associate with poverty. Where I think she was lacking is Libby didn't know the game at all. She really just didn't have a whole lot of an idea what she was doing.
Well, neither did Poverty really the first time that she played.
Yeah, but she's played, what, 100 times since then?
only a couple more so far.
No, it's where I think Molly was just more out in the open, more assertive. Here's what I'm doing. And I wonder how much, you know, in seeing Molly interact, right, I also played Survivor as a law student. And I think there really is a bubble of being a law student. You're around people that are hyper-competitive. Everyone is projecting all the time. You know, the school tells you that they're going to break you down and make you think and speak and talk like a lawyer and stuff like that. And I think it has a negative effect on the show because you go from being in this rabid group of awful people to then you go on Survivor and you've got this subsection of America where you've got people that are just doing normal things and you come out and you're used to having to fight for every single thing that you want. And it comes across as too assertive, too confident, too showboaty, too just in your face, and people don't like it.
So as somebody who's an outsider watching Survivor, would you say that if you see somebody who is a law student that you feel like that they have an uphill battle, even maybe more so than a lawyer?
No, I think it was interesting watching Tribal, right? Because Jason's an attorney and you immediately keep raising his hand and, you know, there was the showmanship and it's what you see from opposing counsel or what I do to opposing counsel every day that I'm in court. Right.
Yeah.
It's no, Your Honor, they've got the facts wrong. Let me tell you how they're actually abusing their grandma and, you know, all this, you know, it's this person's the worst person in the entire world. Absolutely. Don't accuse me of this. You know, it's just kind of this bombastic wildness that you just don't get from normal people.
You know, that's really interesting because I feel like that typically we say that lawyers do not have a strong pedigree in the game, that I believe that no lawyer had won the game. It was Yule was a lawyer.
No, who is? Well, Wendell.
Nick Wilson.
But he doesn't practice.
And of course, yeah, Wendell, you know, has a law degree, right? But not practicing. Do you think that the legal background is something that helps prepare you for these tribal councils, that in the current state of the game where Jeff is sort of the judge and you literally have a jury and you're sort of like in this courtroom like setting, like I feel like that those skill sets would be sort of transferable.
So I'm going to agree in part and disagree in part.
Please.
The agreeing in part is you get into a situation like tribal council and you're comfortable, right? It's what I do every day down at the courthouse, right? You're in front of a group of people. Someone's asking you questions that you've got to tiptoe around and you're trying to frame the narrative in your own way. So that's great. Where I think it's the disadvantage is if you are not aggressive enough in court, they opposing counsel can either keep talking or the judge can just decide that they've heard what they think is everything and then kind of say what they're thinking. And so you really want to be kind of pounding the door down, not giving, you know, trying to talk and not have there be a whole lot of downtime. And that at tribal hurts because I think a lot of people want it to be slightly more laid back. They don't want you to be too aggressive. And it's hard when all day long you're dealing with very aggressive people in your normal life. And then you get stepped back and you're with people that, you know, lawyers are the worst person in their mind. You know, they only go to lawyers when there's problems and mm-hmm. so they don't like that aggressiveness.
So you're saying that it's actually a detriment that you would have that skill set or that tendency at a tribal council because that's not what people are used to?
I don't even know if it's a skill set. I think it's more of a behavioral thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's just how you're used to interacting in a high pressure situation where someone's grilling you
mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, normal people are going to take a question, be okay, and then wait, or, you know, unless they get super fired up. And I think an attorney in general, their resting situation is going to be, no, let me rebut right away. I don't want this Jeff to sit loves. In the, yes, of yeah. course he loves it, but I think it unnerves people.
Do you think that the average person that goes to a tribal council, that's not a lawyer, do you think that they sit there and say, I hope Jeff doesn't call on me, or that, hey, I want my turn to speak?
Well, if you're doing casting, right, everybody wants to be called on.
Yeah.
So if you're like, Ghost Island, most people want to not talk.
That there were people I played with that were like, oh, I hope, you know, I don't want to be called on.
Yeah, there were tons of people. Oh, it's scary. I don't want to answer questions.
Right.
Like, come on, there's 30 cameras here. Let me talk all day long.
So in a way, aren't you sort of like taking the heat off them by being a person that Jeff, who I'm sure, loved to call on repeatedly?
Yes, but then they're also sitting there listening to everything you're saying. And if you talk too long, then you might ruin the plan or give them second thoughts or, you know, allude to something they hadn't thought about. It is dangerous. It's a blessing and a curse to talk too much at tribal council, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. We saw Jason raise his hand in the tribal council. I don't know if I've seen that before at a tribal council. Is this a new thing?
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
It was weird, just not that far away from it. I don't know.
I wasn't sure. Like, he sort of like raised his hand. I wasn't sure if he was like trying to gesture like to he was one of the people that I'm not sure. I think it was when me, guilty as charged. But then his hand stayed up.
Yeah, I took it as like, wait a second, I don't agree with anything she's saying. Let me butt right in.
And Jeff's like, Jason, that nobody's ever done that before.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It was kind of weird. Do you think that will stay? Will that stay?
I hope not. he looked like a nut back there.
A nut? What did you think about when there was all of this suspicion that Jason had the idol and that he was willing to completely strip down?
Yeah, so when I saw that, I thought that's exactly what you do if you actually do have an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How far are they going to make you strip? Like, oh, I don't have it in my bag.
Okay,
well,
okay.
Yeah, that's because it's in your pants or wherever. Right?
That's kind of like what happened with Kelly when she actually, we saw in this episode, two people, one did have an idol and one didn't have an idol. They sort of behaved the same way.
Yeah, I thought she was brilliant because she put it in her hair. But yeah, it's a lose-lose. Where I think Kelly's strategy was better was, right, she came back. They met her on the beach. She had no time to go and hide the idol.
Right.
If you're Jason, the logic in the display is flawed because you could just have it somewhere. You could have set it behind your stool.
Right.
Or any, you know, there's 100 different places you could have put that and still, let me take my jacket off. Let me show you my bag. I don't know. It came across as desperate to where if I had been sitting there, maybe he actually does have an idol.
Yeah. When I talked to Molly this morning, she seemed like that. She was not impressed to the lengths that he went to go through that whole song and dance.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
Mm-hmm. And she said, especially that he knew she was going home at that tribal council.
Wait, she knew?
That she said that he went through all that. And then on top of that, he already, you know, had the cards that, you know, Molly was
tribal council. Right.
But that sounds...
It was a little overprojecting, but he is a personal injury attorney. So what do we expect?
But amongst the lawyers that you're saying that is what Jason does looked at in a different light than, say, what you do?
It is, but I don't want to hate on it too much. I mean, it's all, you got to earn a living and people need representation.
Because I'm a rube as an outsider.
Yeah, it's generally considered the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personal injury law.
Okay.
But Chris Hammonds does it and he makes a ton of money. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of money to be made. It's okay. Just not. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you rank all of the Survivor lawyers or is that a different podcast?
That's a different podcast, but I would love to do that. That could be fun.
Okay.
I mean, I'm towards the bottom of the heap too. Let's be real.
Who's at the top? Who's at the top of the Survivor lawyer food chain?
Who was that one kind of annoying guy on, maybe he was on Redemption Island? Murphy?
Oh, David Murphy. Yeah, what did he do?
I think he does corporate, doesn't he?
Or corporate. That's where you want to be?
Yeah, so if you're doing like business law, corporate law, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's considered the top or litigation of some kind.
Mm-hmm. What about like Nick Wilson?
He's a prosecutor now, isn't he?
Is he a prosecutor now?
I think he was a public defender. I think he's a prosecutor
now. Switch.
Yeah, yeah. Switching tables, going to the other side.
I didn't even know.
Going to the dark side where they pay you more and you jail innocent people.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. That's not the Nick Wilson
idea. Shout out to Eliza, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Prosecutors are terrible.
I mean, there's a lot. You could start a whole law firm with.
It could be really fun. That actually could be fun. Let's do it with Eliza.
What would it be called?
Eliza and Bradley smear all the other attorneys. I don't know.
All right. All right.
There's a lot of, what are other popular Survivor categories of jobs besides model? You've got the attorneys.
Well, I feel like physicians is another big category.
Yeah. We don't have any this season, do we?
No, I don't think there's anybody. Boston Rob went to medical school. He was pre-med. He went to pre-med.
Yeah, that's not medical. Okay,
well, all right, Bradley. Well, we've established. Well, what do I know? I know who's doing what podcast. That's it. But yeah, he was pre-med. Does that count?
I don't think so.
No, does it count? Okay. No. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody in the medical profession.
Yeah, which is strange. Usually we have some.
Usually we get one. Maybe that was a Lynn Spillman thing.
Maybe. Poor Lynn.
Yeah.
Although this cast seems pretty good.
They seem good.
Yeah,
I'll give
it to Jeff.
It was the end of the world when, I can't believe that I have no Lynn Spillman. And this cast turned out fine.
Yeah, I wonder how many of them have been in the loop for so long that at this point they're just reusing this churning pot of 300 people that they've had their eye on. I mean, because I was in the system for 5 years before I made it on.
Yeah, they have such a backlog of people.
I mean, Chelsea, I know, I actually met her before I was on the show.
Chelsea from your season?
No, Chelsea Walker from this season.
Oh.
Yep. She's the first person that I met before I was on the show that has now made it on the show.
Yeah.
So I mean, she was in it for a long time. Actually, when we met, we fought about how far we'd each made it in casting, and she told me I was a liar, that there was no way I had made it to finals in casting, and I was like, yeah, you're totally wrong. And then I made it on the show, and I was like, meh.
Yeah.
I sent her the cast list as soon as we got back.
I like that we have like a Survivor farm team that's out there.
Yeah, makes you wonder who else is on it, right?
Yeah. Do you think that they're trying to find each other? The people that are sort of like the AAA of the Survivor cast?
Probably mostly listening to this podcast.
How did you find Chelsea?
We were at the Survivor Price is Right taping. We actually were in line, seated next to each other, and ended up sitting there for like nine hours. You know, she is actually a legend. There is a gentleman who's rather annoying to Survivor players, and she spent the day heckling him. Which was amazing. She had gentlemen. She had no idea who he was.
Survivor players. Is this like a person that
I don't want to be? I don't know. I don't know if he's in the patron group or anything like that.
This person is in the entertainment industry, or this person is just like a random.
I'll write it down
and sliding across. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So
okay. So this is and this person was there.
He was there. He was being obnoxious, and she was just heckling him the whole day, trying to get him to be quiet. And it's like
I disavow that person that you're talking about. I have no relationship with that person.
I don't think anyone does.
Okay, yeah.
Besides one of annoyance.
Yeah. Okay. Should the people like who are in the AAA, should they like wear like a flower on their shirt at a Survivor party so that they can like find one another?
No, no, you should fly under the radar and stop being so weird.
Don't be so weird. Okay.
I say that having gone to them. Yeah. Right? So,
okay. Talk to me about Nora.
Oh my God!
You're enjoying Nora.
Oh my God! Yes.
Yes. You like.
I love the crazy people. Right. Yeah, give me the Debbies. Give me the Nora. It's great. Yeah. I was texting Van Wagenen earlier, and I was like, oh my God! I hope there's more from Nora. Like what we got this week. Let's just hope it keeps on rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's she's great. Mm-hmm. And the part where she was like so excited because she wasn't going home, so she starts dancing, and it's like, yo, you're gonna get sent home. Like, you gotta stop. No, I agree with Jason on that, except the whole thing was funny because then he like did a little bit of a dance, and it was like, you guys are so weird.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
So if you were out there with Anora, could you work with her?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you could.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like
Anora's exactly who I
also I love the crazy people.
Yeah. They're way more fun.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's even like in my dating life, for example, right. I was like, okay, I gotta go on a date with someone normal. So I took this super nice girl out on a date, whatever I got done. And I'm like, well, that went really well, but it was so boring.
Yeah.
It was.
So you look for this in your dating life also.
Go. Yeah.
You
want somebody. Yeah. Bring on the crazy. Like the greatest offense in my opinion is being boring.
Yeah. I know that both ways because I don't like people that are boring and then I've called people boring and they are very offended. They get very, very mad.
Yeah, well, maybe they shouldn't be boring.
Yeah,
you don't need to apologize.
Yeah. So you would work with Nora. I think I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's great. It's usually these people, they're so fun to loop in, right? It's like when I met Debbie, I saw her from across the room and I ran over there and I was like, oh my God, Debbie, I love you. I love that tiger bathing suit. You're awesome. And then she's like, I'm wearing it under my shirt. And then I was like, Debbie, take your shirt off. I want a picture with that.
Easy, Bradley.
And so she did. And she had her tiger bathing suit on. Yeah. This was a Hearts of Reality. And then from the rest of the time, she was like, oh yeah, you and me.
Do you keep in touch with Debbie?
I text Debbie sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
She sometimes likes to take me. I think one of her friends has a boat. So whenever she's on the boat with the other friends,
and then she starts texting you.
Yeah. She'll text me and she'll take pictures and it's kind of funny.
Whoa. So she takes like selfies and sends them to you.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Look at you, Bradley.
I mean, they're not dirty or anything.
No, I wouldn't think so. But yeah, it put in a good word for me. She's one of my bucket list interviews.
You've never interviewed her?
I've only interviewed her on the phone for Exit Press.
She's fascinating. I find a lot of those people interesting. So like at Hearts of Reality, when I was talking to her and you know, she seemed quirky but perfectly capable of having a normal conversation and hanging out with somebody. And then a few other Survivor alums started kind of making fun of her. And you saw her switch, and she put on Show Debbie.
People
were not very nice to her. I'm not going to name names.
From her seasons?
No.
Or they were just,
alums. Yeah. People that had been on the show.
Like, what kind of stuff would they say to her?
Just ostracizing her, not wanting to be around her. Yeah, and so
gameplay related? Was it like, hey, you
No. It was just
friend.
Like, you're weird. So there's like a contingent of Survivor alums who were kind of boring on the show and they're just very normal in real life and they don't know what to do with these odd ducks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will collect all the odd ducks all day long. Yeah. That's who I would rather hang out with. But everyone doesn't share that opinion. But I saw it. I saw it from across the room and it was like, she switched and she went into this like Debbie you see on the show. And so I wonder how much on the show she thought she was on the outs at times and that's what kind of brought her into this kind of nuttier way. So it almost made it a little bit sad seeing it because she's super nice and she's really cool. And then she kind of turned and it's like, okay. Whoa, is this a, you know, is this her putting on an act because she wants to be entertaining, or is this a coping mechanism? So then it was a little bit less fun to laugh at.
Bringing this back to Survivor 39, do you think that that's what happened with Nora? Do you think that she ended up on the outs, and then because she was on the outs, that ended up bringing out some more of her quirkiness?
I think that's exactly what happened, right? At Tribal Council, she said something to Jeff along the lines of, I've always not fit in. I've always been on the outside. I've always had to go it alone, right? And I think that's exactly where it starts from. You take people... You listen to a lot of comedians, for instance, and the comedy is a mask. It's a way to cope with something else. And that's what I think it is for a lot of these characters, which in my opinion makes them even more fascinating, right? Because being a little bit nutty and being odd, that makes you interesting, but then it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you that way?
Yeah.
I could sit there all day long. I want a whole season of that. It would be so fascinating. Survivor Odd Ducks.
Odd Ducks. Okay.
I don't know.
Odd Us.
Or Survivor Loon Island.
Loon
for all the loons.
I don't think they couldn't call it Loon Island. I think that might be offensive to some, I guess.
I mean, I'm kind of including myself in this category.
All right, so you could play as a person who would play.
Yeah. If you could just put me on there with, let's say, 15 or 19, just nut jobs, it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you think that Nora can bounce back from sort of being on the outs early on?
I think already from her personality and the way people are taking to it, she has no shot of winning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Steven may have said this on Know It Alls. She's a great third place finisher.
I said that. Does she have zero?
And I totally agree, right? She's super fun. Yeah. And at this point, why vote her off? She doesn't appear to be doing any, you know, super genius strategizing. She just seems to be scared she's going to go home. And you already heard it from her. She's like, I just want to stay. I just want to be here. And as soon as people start saying, like, oh, just one more vote, I just want to be here for the experience, it's like, yeah, you're not going to win.
Yeah. What about Jason? I know that you said that you felt like that as a lawyer, he already has some issues moving forward. But do you think that he can rebound from this?
I think he can. Yeah. I get a bit of a Dr. Mike vibe in the sense that I think Dr. Mike, I love Dr. Mike, right? But I think Dr. Mike was a little bit spastic and all over the place the first few days of the game, and then settled down a little bit and kind of recouped. And that's what I think Jason can do. Will he do that? Remains to be seen. But I think he has a possibility, right? If you go out looking for idols, not the best look, but at the same time, he's playing. It's better than not playing.
Yeah, I think Jason's actually done a really good job here. I think he had dug himself a hole, but I think he has handled getting out of that hole perfectly so far, where it might have been just the thing he needed to just calm down and try to, you know, make people at ease. Like, he sort of had to realize, like, after that first hour when he was out there, I'm like, okay, I've sketched everybody out. Now everything I have to do has to be something to help calm people down and reduce my threat level. And I think that has been good for him so far.
Yes, I think so. As nerve-wracking and anxiety-inducing as it is to go to your first tribal council, make it out unscathed. And especially if you can make it out and the people you thought were with you or that you were trying to bring with you, they actually were with you. There's a really good sense of, okay, I know where I am. I can calm down. I can breathe a little bit. And let's see, you know, you have another 3 days to assess the situation and move forward. And
what about for Jamal and for Jack, where do they go next? So they were on the wrong side of this vote. They were blindsided by the rest of the group. Molly is gone now. What do those guys do?
I think based on what we've seen, I think Jack is in a better position because he seems like he's close with Tommy. He seems a little bit more laid back and socializing with everybody, where with Jamal, we see him sleeping. He's kind of by himself.
Yeah.
I don't know who else he's really been interacting with a whole lot. So I feel like Jack is in a safer position. He also seems like he's really good at challenges, which should help him for at least a little while. Although in Modern Survivor, rightly so, I think people just don't seem to care about that as much. And I'm all for that. So it will be interesting to see if Nora brought herself into the group, or if this was just a temporary thing of Molly was overplaying her hand and was just a little too visual in what she was doing and wasn't covert enough, or if they've realized that Nora's either okay, entertaining, or a good goat, or where. I don't think we quite know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go now after this, because it seemed like that all of the talk was about Molly. Molly's doing this. Molly has the guys wrapped around her finger. And then I feel like that we didn't see a lot of anti-Jamal or anti-Jack talk. I feel like the only time it came up was at the tribal council, where Jason was talking about how, well, you know, Jamal is able to play the game in first gear. You know, some of us aren't that lucky. I have to play from the bottom. I'm in fourth gear. And that came up. And of course, we saw where Jamal talked about how he wanted to time to go take a nap, and we got to see him snoring. But yeah, we didn't hear the tribe talking badly about either of those two. It was all Molly.
No, which makes me wonder how much Molly stuck out possibly on the tribe. It would be interesting to hear from everyone else and get their take on the situation, because I agree with you. It's weird that if you've got these confessionals of, this is the cool kid table, these are the people that are hanging out, and then you don't see them also trashing the other two.
Yeah.
You're only trashing one. Maybe she was a convenient, you know, fall person, but
yeah,
I'm just not sure.
What about Jack? Do you see Jack as a sea bass at all? Do you see any similarities between those two?
Yeah. Yeah. The confessional about how he doesn't want a real job and he's here to have fun. It's probably not great for his winners at it. But yeah, I mean, he seems like he'd be fun to hang out with. He actually, freshman year of college, lived on my cousin's floor at UVA, actually. I didn't know this, but then my cousin texted me and told me. So from what I hear outside the game, he's nice. But yeah, I just don't...
How did you get along with somebody like a Sebastian?
Sebastian was actually one of my closest friends out there.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. It's so interesting to kind of go off on a tangent for a second. It's so fascinating in the game. You make these relationships with people that you would never run into or never be friends with outside the game. And you think, oh my God, I've made this friend. And then you get back to the real life, and within a year, almost everyone has gravitated towards the people in their cast and the people in the community that they probably would be friends with in real life. And they've separated.
Oh,
and so
is that just, there's less options out there on Survivor? Like, you become friends with people by necessity.
I think it's because you're in this closed environment, right? They don't, we're all kind of constrained. Like you have to be around these people. And so the perspective's really fun. And then at the end of the day, they go and do whatever they actually want, and you do what you want. And then you realize there's not a whole lot of overlap when you're not all forced to be on the same beach together. But, I just saw Sebastian last weekend, actually. He was in town. So it's fun. It's just not.
I was gonna, are him and Jenna still together?
They are. Yep. They're working on a 100-foot yacht.
What does that mean? They're working, like, building one?
No. So they live on it.
Yes.
And they cook and clean and drive the boat. And I don't know. Yeah. Do whatever below deck people do.
Yeah. They're like them. They're like the workers on a boat.
Yes.
Okay. But they get to live on it.
They live on the boat. They have a car. Provided by the boat owner.
Car by the boat owner.
Yep, they get to buy the groceries. I mean, all expenses paid. So they live on this boat in a yacht club in Miami. And then when the owners come down, they go out to the Bahamas, they go to the Keys, whatever. So this boat is big enough, this yacht is big enough, they've got a 40-foot little boat that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 40-foot tender. Like, for instance, right, the sailboat...
Because you're a big boat guy.
I am. Not motorboats. But
yeah,
definitely with sailboats. But like, so the sailboat I grew up sailing on is only 30 feet, and their little like second boat is, you know, a third bigger than that one. So it you know, it's magnitudes greater of fancy. Not necessarily my jam, but
right.
Seems to be fun, but yeah, they're doing okay. And talked about coming back out here because they were out here for a little while. Yeah, they seem good. So it's fun. Yeah, you kind of weave in and out with these people, but it's always entertaining.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other tribe. Yeah. Let's talk about what's going on over
Lyro.
Yeah. I want to could I get your take on Elaine? Is Elaine somebody that's your cup of tea? Is that one of the odd ducks that you like so much, or is she too mainstream?
Huh. This is interesting. She is the flavor of character.
Yes.
That oftentimes is not in real life who they are edited to be on TV.
Okay.
You've got this slot of this charming person.
Yeah.
Southern, hasn't been anywhere, not super fluent, blue collar, whatever, which is all great. But there seems to be a lot of just sugarcoating the actual personality and how well they get along with everyone.
It's possible that feel like that Elaine could be getting an incredible edit, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible of anyone, right? Of course. But where I think you've got a few different archetypes that Survivor absolutely loves, and we like to fill them over and over and over and over and over again. And this seems to be one that they're just stuck on for right now. This, you had Lauren Rimmer, you've got Donathan, you've got Elaine, and many more. And so, and just having met some of them in real life and talking to people that played with them, it seems to be one of the archetypes where there's oftentimes a divergence in, hey, this person was really awesome versus, hey, this person got an incredible edit and we don't really like them.
Well,
so I don't know. It's endearing on TV, though.
People that have played with Rupert have said that, Rupert, when he was out there, that he was a little bit different than the guy you saw on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we all are to a degree, right? Or most people. Some people are dead ringers for themselves. Brett LaBelle, he was exactly who he appeared to be on TV, and in that sense. But yeah, there are some that I just don't think come across 100% perfectly, because it is an edited TV show. It's supposed to be interesting. So the character Elaine on my TV, yeah, she's super entertaining, and it's hilarious. I like it. You know, she's asking what cumin is and stuff like that, and.
Are you a big cumin guy?
I mean, yes, I have some in my kitchen.
Yeah, what do you put it on?
I think I usually put it in when I make like beans and rice.
Okay.
I do a lot of very simple stuff, right? It's just me.
Are you a big cooking guy?
So I live in this little guest house that is the size of your studio, right? It's super small. So I have a hot plate and a dorm fridge. So I'm into cooking whatever I can make, like a week's worth of food. Otherwise, I'll just get home from work.
That was an amazing.
Donathan, can you help me move this, please? Donathan, can you help me move this?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I had some clips of you cooking.
Well, I mean, I did make the rice every day when I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I like to cook. I wish I had a real kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's the trade-off of being like a 5-minute walk to the beach.
Okay. And you love the beach also.
I love the beach.
Big beach guy.
I go every day.
Yeah.
Ride my bike, go for a run, go for a walk, take the dog down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a dog.
I do. Yeah. She's actually been back home in Michigan for the last couple of months because I've been traveling a bunch. But she's flying back out here tomorrow. My mom is delivering her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Look at you. You're getting a dog delivery.
Yep.
From mom. That's nice. That's a nice thing that your mom's doing.
I got all ready. I vacuumed the dog bed in my office at work because the dog goes to work with me.
Oh, wow.
Which is great. She usually is perfectly well behaved, except sometimes she'll be sleeping so hard the FedEx guy will come in and drop off a package and then he'll startle her and she'll bark and chase him out the office, which is really funny and not good when there's clients in the office.
But
otherwise, yeah.
Everybody else gets a kick out of it.
So I don't know. So getting back to Elaine, I enjoy her on the TV. I mean, I hope that's her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hope anyone's awful. Just some people are.
Yeah. I mean, so, you've met people that are awful and not the way that they're portrayed on the show.
Yes. And it's also interesting to me. So, I mean, since Ghost Island, I've been to several now, or a couple, I guess, finale parties here in LA, perk of living in LA. And there seems to always be a couple people where everyone's like, yeah, we don't really like that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's oftentimes the person that got a really good edit. And I don't know if it's because they got a good edit that they don't like them or what's happening.
I feel like you're so tapped in, Bradley.
To the Survivor
group? Yeah, I feel like you really have your finger on the pulse of like what the Survivor insiders are saying.
Yeah, I like to hang out with the survivors in town.
You have like the real tea.
Yeah, I've got a few people that text me and they're like, give me the spoilers. And I'm like, I don't have any right now.
Okay,
Okay. It's kind of bothering me, but for these purposes, it works out great because I have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
But I mean, usually, I'm the one of like, bet you won't guess who's going to, win immunity next week.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, hey, we don't like that stuff around here.
No. So I don't have any of that. But yeah, I am relatively tapped in. I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing, right? So when I graduated from law school, most of my law school friends actually moved out of LA. And so I lost a lot of my non-survivor friend group. So I've been spending more time with survivor people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is
good thing or bad thing?
Most of the time fun.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Most of the time fun. Yeah. It's a good group. It's fun. The group seems to, it swells each season and then it kind of, dies off a little bit. And then there's just the core group. And so every once in a while, it seems like we gain one more, at least from the people that I hang out fairly often with. And
yeah.
It's mostly all fun.
Okay. Do you have your eyes on any new friends from this season?
So I watched the episode last night with Chelsea, Ashley, Dean, Robbie, and Dan from this season, and they all seemed cool.
Ronnie. I was like, who's Robbie? Is it Robbie on
this?
That's
pretty good that I can remember all those names.
Yes.
Okay. Forgive me.
All right. And so, and they invite you to their watch party.
It was a fun time. You've got you have forthcoming pictures. They will not be out till the end of the season, but Wardog, Kellen, myself and Chelsea actually did a photo booth last week during the premiere. Well, after the premiere, after a few rounds of tequila shots. So those will be some good pictures you can look forward to.
Okay. All right. So tell me about, you mentioned Chelsea. She finds the idol. She starts the fire.
Yeah. She starts the fire. All the bros are like, oh, let's start the fire. And then she walks in and just makes the fire. It was amazing.
Should she have tried to struggle more with making the fire?
I mean, see, that's a problem. It's a liability. Everyone's sitting there because there are enough people that don't know the game that are playing the game. And they immediately find these people that talk about the show too much, talk about past seasons on the beach too much. I mean, I was one of those. Everyone was like, what season did this happen? And I was like, oh, God, I've been talking too much about the fact that I was a fan. And she does run the risk, especially with the fire making challenge, of coming in and being like, oh, let me make fire. There we go.
Yeah. Could you make the fire?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yes. But I think you're an outdoorsy guy. I feel like you like to camp, right?
I do. I always pack a lighter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And fire starter. I could not start it without the fire starter.
Yeah.
No, I love to be outside. Actually loved that part of the show. Waking up, watching the sunrise, usually with the producers because not many other people were up. And it was always like, this is so cool. We're in Fiji. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Everyone else was just like, eh.
Yeah.
Not super thrilled.
Yeah.
Granted, then I would start complaining. But, I enjoyed it for a few minutes.
Okay. So, all right, here's Chelsea now with an idol.
Yeah.
She looks like she is right there with Missy as part of the potential Women's Alliance. Bradley, do you think could this work?
I actually think it could.
Yeah.
Usually I think that's a hard thing to do, have a one gender alliance in either direction. But I think they could pull it off. It's interesting. Her edit. Chelsea's has been so, it's the super fan edit we all wish we had gotten, right? Where it's like, we all know she knows the game inside and out, but they're not making her look like a loon or somebody that's just too nerdy about it. So, she seems to be playing it well. And then you have, Missy who seems really smart. We had a lot of good confessionals. She seems to have a good handle on what's happening in the game, assessing where the position is. She did great in the immunity challenge. Then what, you have Elaine and Karishma?
I think there's that Elizabeth is there also.
Yeah, and Elizabeth.
We didn't see Elizabeth last night.
Right, yeah.
A 90-minute episode last night.
No,
people got lost in the shuffle last night.
Yeah, I am a little jealous that they've not been doing rewards. They've been combining them because three things on the show is too much, and then you don't get to know the people.
Right.
From my own preference. I would rather get to know the people.
Right. We got back to the Island of the Idols last night. Are you enjoying the Island of the Idols experience?
Yeah, I am. I thought it was the dumbest idea I'd ever heard when I first heard about it.
You came around on it.
Oh, for sure. It's hokey as fuck, but it's really funny.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. And compare this to Ghost Island. In terms of the idea for the premise of that you feel like that this is superior to Ghost Island, where you just go out there and there's nothing there.
No,
you like Ghost Island better.
Yeah, I mean, I love the spy box up at Tribal and all that stuff. It's all kind of fun, but it's still just kind of weird at the same time. where in Ghost Island, I wish there had been, it would have been more like a challenge, not just a smash one of these two urns and maybe you'll get an advantage or something like that. Have it actually have been some kind of a challenge. I think that would have been cooler, but yeah, it feels more like old school ish Survivor rather than this is, I don't know what version we're getting here. Cause it's,
yeah,
you've got Rob and Sandra back, but at the same time, they're hilarious. It's super funny.
Do you think that the purest version of this would be more akin to Ghost Island, but like, should Jeff be there? Like, should Jeff be hosting? Like, all right, here, Bradley, you're here on Ghost Island. All right, pick one of these three things and you're going to get an advantage if you're wrong. And like, you play like a little mini game with Jeff Probst.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't think you would need him there.
Yeah. You think you could do it with just like read a note?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you made it, brought back some of those great endurance challenges from way back in the day, that could be fun. Like a one person endurance challenge. Well, stand here with your hand up in the air and the bucket
of hourglass over.
Yeah. Like if you can stand there with your arm above your head with the bucket of water, right? The poverty challenge that she's won. Mm-hmm. If you can do this for 90 minutes, you get an idol.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool because a lot of people can't make it 90 minutes, but a lot of people can. So I don't know.
I think that could be very boring.
We're not going to show it for 90 minutes. Like, let's speed that shit up.
Yeah. But, well, tell me. Okay.
Be fun. From a player standpoint, it would be really fun.
Kelly went out there and she had to pass the test from Rob and Sandra to get the idol. Do you think, okay, as somebody who's been out there, did Kelly actually learn anything? Like, do you think that Kelly went back to camp and is like, boy, I really got to start paying attention to what these people are saying. Do you think that changed her at all?
No, but I would hope that it did. Mm-hmm. I don't think it did, but it should. So I think a large part of Survivor that you don't ever really see besides this on TV is the part where you are sitting around talking about your life, talking about your dogs, talking about your siblings, all that stuff. I mean, that's 90% of the socializing on Survivor, and it's important. Right. Because it'll come up and someone will start talking about someone with just their name, right? A relative, a friend. And if you're like, wait, who are you talking about again? It looks like you don't care.
Yeah.
And so I'm right there with them. That's a huge part of it. I think maybe as a viewer who hasn't played the game, it's a little bit befuddling.
Yeah.
Because you're like, man, what? But what people I don't think realize is that that's the fun of Survivor. I mean, that's one of the things that was so much fun about playing with Dom and why I absolutely loved being on the beach with him, even if he voted my ass out. He told incredible stories about his family and things he had done.
Yeah.
And
because he's got a big family.
Yeah. A big family. They're wild. I love them. I've been to his parents' house. It's a good time.
Right.
And so if you've got people that aren't very interesting or don't take an interest in that, what else are you going to do all day long?
Yeah. Well, it used to be part of the game where in the first...
you had the trivia part.
The trivia. Yeah. Yes.
That would be amazing.
Was it the first four seasons they had? And I got really burned in my season, not like the shelter, where we were going towards the final three and I'm like, oh. Trivia. I got this. Like I know 10 times more about all these people I played with than Jenna and Matt do. And then especially when I was like, all right, you go to at nighttime to go have the final challenge. I'm like, all right, well, I got this in the bag. There's no way anybody could beat me. And then it wasn't that. And they've never done it since. And because I think that it was because of, you know, what happened in Africa where they asked questions and then they're like, who has a tattoo? And then two people had a tattoo. But yeah, it used to be like, hey, you got to make sure you know about these people because there's going to be a quiz later.
Yeah. See, there may not be a quiz, but I still think it's a huge part of the game. You've got to take an interest in these people and you've got to pay attention, even if it's dumb, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there were plenty of stories that I did not really care about, but at the end of the day, you still want to be able to walk up and you want to be, you know, like, Brendan, how are Will and Molly? Are you missing them? You know, his kids and stuff. But if you're like, oh, how are your kids? And he'll be like, well, I've been talking about them for, you know, 5 days or whatever, you know, so it's important stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say as an aside, you know, we were even on the Australia trip at one point. One of the grievances were like, you don't know anything about us. You don't care about us. They were mad at me because I was just being a salty, mad person and super upset. And it was like, yeah, I did not take the time to get to know you. And that, I think, was a critical error.
On people on the beach. Trip
no, no, no.
Said that yeah, you, people you were
on
not,
the, yes.
Okay.
people on the trip said that, you know, oh, you don't know, you're not asking about our families, you're not caring about us, whatever. And then that made me realize going back, it's like, yes, that time where after the swap, I was on Malolo. Sure, I knew a ton about my Navidi people and I was learning more, right. But was I learning more about the original Malolo?
But it wasn't the people that were on the trip, like, hey, on this trip to Australia, you're not learning anything.
No,
about
it was still that too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you definitely you should do it in the game.
Many of them are my best friends now in the entire world from that trip. But yeah. I think it's hugely important. So I don't know if Kelly took away that lesson, but certainly she had some very easy questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't know how many kids Rob has or that he's married to Amber.
Well, that was, to be fair, maybe that might have been question 4 or 5. All the questions were about Sandra.
I guess he didn't answer that one.
That might have been question four and five.
I mean, if it was Elizabeth, she probably would have completely lost because she didn't know who Rob and Sandra were the first week. But
yeah,
I feel like Kelly's smarter than that.
Okay. All right, Bradley, I have some questions for you. It's not a quiz, from the listeners of the podcast.
What do I get if I get 2 out of 5, right?
If you get 2 out of 5,
I'm negotiating with you, Rob.
Yeah, I'll give you a free cup of coffee. If you get two out of five right. 3 out of 5 right, I'll give you a RHAP pop socket.
Ooh,
okay?
Okay.
All right, so just hang in there. But I'm probably going to ask you more than 5 questions.
So chances are I'll win the pop socket?
Chances are, if you want one, I can make that happen for you.
Okay.
You can have all the RHAP stuff that you want. Mugs.
Actually, a mug would be cool.
Okay. All right, you got it. Coming right up for Bradley. But for you guys, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Joy Bird Furniture. Now, Bradley, you're a guy that likes to be comfortable.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be uncomfortable. And Joy Bird is empowering you to create the furniture and space that brings you joy and keeps those summer vibes flowing all year long, no matter what season it is. That Nicole and I got a chair from Joy Bird. It's called the Elliott chair.
It's the best chair you've ever had.
It's a very nice chair. We have it not even in the living room. We have it off to the bedroom because we don't want our kids to be jumping around and trying to ruin it. I know that the Joy Bird furniture is stain resistant, but my kids will really...
Awesome. Maybe it should be a comfort item on the show.
Maybe. But Joy Bird is going to help you get one-of-a-kind furniture crafted to your unique taste. Turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options. Want a sofa in aquatic blue or indigo? I guess you'd want it maybe in Navidi purple.
Most definitely.
Yes, yep. Certainly. Joybird can make it a reality. If you can think it up, they can make it. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet friendly, that'd be good for you, upholstery options so that your creations can stand the test of time. Free personal design consultants to help you nail down your perfect design. Joybird, each piece that they make is handcrafted with care and precision using high quality hardwood, hay, and a responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. Limited lifetime warranty is included, 365-day home trial as well. Skip the furniture store, bring the showroom home, sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. Whoa. If you don't love your Joybird, return it. See how Joybird can help you design your dream space. Make your furniture your own at joybird.com/Rob. Create the furniture that brings you the joy today at joybird.com/Rob. Go to joybird.com/Rob to receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Rob. Okay.
Sounds like awesome furniture.
It's if you know exactly what you want and you you know, have something that nobody else can do for you, check out what Joybird has going on. All right.
Or if you're exhausted after listening to me on this podcast, you might need a Joybird chair.
You're doing great. You're doing great. This is a lot of fun so far. Okay.
It is.
Let's I got a lot of questions.
I'm ready
for
these questions. Okay. Sandley is ready to talk about the dirt.
Okay. Yeah. John wants to know which beach is which tribe, who has the dirtiest beach. Are you still able to see which beach is which?
Vokai is on Malolo and what's the other one? Lyro is on Navidi.
Okay. Lyro is Navidi. So they've switched the colors. So orange is purple and purple is orange.
Yep.
Okay. All right. What about the Island of the Idols? Do you recognize where that is?
I think that was Ghost Island, but I never went to Ghost Island, so I'm relying on someone else.
Okay. Andrew wants to know which tribe has the worst camp. Can you tell which tribe is doing worse so far?
The purple people actually have their shelter exactly where we did at Malolo. So I would say that would be the worst with those ants.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they seem relatively the same. They've gotten lucky that it hasn't rained as much so far.
Right.
Because this is the odd season. You're toast.
Not the odd duck season. Yeah. The odd numbered season.
Coming on Survivor 84.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. This is a question from Stefan Johnson wants to know, how long do preseason judgments have an impact on the game? It's been 6 days, but half the cast still seems to be sticking to their preseason notions. Now, this is something that really, I think that Josh, with his first one out interviews, really brought to the forefront in terms of asking the contestants about, what do you think of this person? What do you think of this person? And we've seen it play out where, especially in this early game, people feel one way about a person and then it ends up coming that way in the game. How long does that last?
With some people, it evaporates right away, mm-hmm. right? They start talking. For instance, everyone thought Kellen was a teacher or mm-hmm. a librarian or mm-hmm. something very quiet. And then we're laying there on night one and, you know, she starts telling us, you know, that she got a divorce and she was only married 6 months and all this like crazy stuff. She's in a poker league and it kind of blew all of our minds. And then I think everyone's preconceived notions of what she was like in pregame kind of went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have other people that appear to be exactly who you think they are. Jacob Derwin in the game was exactly who Jacob Derwin was in pregame.
What was he doing?
He just was tripping all over the place. It was like he hadn't quite grown into himself yet. You know, dropping stuff and that's pretty much how he was in the game. So I think where it can become a problem is if you do something once the game starts or say something that confirms mm-hmm. a person's notion, that's when you start to get in trouble.
What did people think of you in the preseason? What were you projecting?
Well, I made a critical error, which was wearing a Vineyard Vines pullover.
Yes.
At what, Ponderosa.
Too bougie? Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone was calling me Ivy League or some nonsense like that. And then, of course, you know, I start talking and I tell them, oh, I'm a grad student studying geography. And they're like, yeah. What do you like to do? I talked about sailing, talked about the cottage. And then they're like,
yeah.
So I may have shot myself in the foot a little bit about that. But yeah, I think they just thought I was smart. Always watching people. I have a really hard time focusing and not just scanning kind of the environment. So when you're at Ponderosa, right. I guess we only see it in the Ponderosa episodes, mm-hmm. but that's where you are pregame. And there's a bunch of tables in that room, main room. And so you're all just sitting there staring at each other.
But I want to ask you about this, because I talked about this last week on the podcast in terms of Elaine, where Ronnie said, oh, Elaine, she is she's got a great story. Nobody's got a better story than Elaine. If she gets to the end, she's not winning the money. If people sort of identified you, oh, this guy went to an Ivy League school. He's, you know, got a good job. He's a grad student. Shouldn't that make people want to keep you around?
That's what I thought. I really thought that. I assumed, you know, the first couple of days I was like, oh no, this is awful. And mm-hmm. then I started to realize that exact point. I thought, you know what? People are going to want to keep me. No one wants to give me $1 million because everyone already thinks I've got a trust fund with more than $1 million in it. And that would help me. They would all take me to the end. And then it's my job to try and orchestrate who I'm bringing to the end with me. And if I can pick the right people, I might have a shot to win this.
Mm-hmm.
Delusional or not, that was my thinking. But
in practice, it didn't work that way.
Not at all. And I think that's where, let's say I had been sitting there and had just truly complained about the dirt and the sand and the ants. And that's all I did, and I wasn't really playing the game, then I think it would have worked out perfectly if my goal was to just make it farther and make it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't regret playing. I think the hard part for me was playing on the top.
Yeah.
It's easier when you're a little scrappier, and what are you supposed to do? Like, Kellen and I were very effective at getting rid of
too
Malolos
effective.
And it worked too well and it put too big of a target on our back.
I'm telling you, the new playing good on Survivor is playing bad.
Yeah. Well, it's just the degradation of strategy. There's so many advantages, which are whatever. It's part of Survivor now, so I'm not going to pontificate on whether or not they're good or bad mm-hmm. or anything like that. But it takes out a little bit of the strategy, and especially the social strategy, because that's so much of the first couple of days. And then it just starts to, you have people that you like and people that you don't. But at the end of the day, if you come to me with a compelling option and I don't like you, I may still go with you, because I can just kind of step back and see that this is a game and you've got that advantage at this point in the game, where it used to be more like, no, you need to form these bonds, and because you're going to need to count on them.
And it's, so you just feel like that the advantages, yeah, they've just injected so much variance into the game. So it's not necessarily as much like you just find your group and stick with it, as opposed to you can go, you know, follow wherever the advantages go.
Right. It's a different.
Although that's not how your season played out, though. Although I guess the guys who had the best strategic or the best social bond also had all the advantages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they also had a few people that just followed them.
Right. Right.
Which was such a bummer.
So they had both things.
They did. And I think that was a bummer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough. I watched the premiere with a couple of people from my season, and I won't name names, but because we weren't super nice to the rest of our cast, but it was like, you know, why weren't we playing with some of these people where everyone was like, oh, let's go do stuff. We had many people.
The premiere of season 39 with people from your season and said, why weren't there more people like this on our season?
Yeah. That wanted to do something.
Okay.
Everyone was just kind of okay in their bunch. And you know, I mean, myself included, I thought I was okay, but I also thought I was at the top. It's just kind of a bummer.
Yeah. All right. Let me take this question from Devin Dodson, who says, hey, RHAP, my question for Bradley is, we've seen 2 weeks in a row where people have fabricated stories from the Island of the Idols sounding inherently similar to Ghost Island. How top of mind is the most recent season of Survivor when you compete? And is the most recent season more relevant than what we have seen from Survivor as a whole? Thank you, Devin. And then also, I hope to see Bradley on the Villains Tribe on Heroes versus Villains 2.
I don't think I'm ever going to play again, but that would be super fun.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
I think by the time, let's say, even if we had, and I've got no intel on this, but even if 42, let's say, is a returnee season, not all winners, that puts over 60 people or 60 new people since Game Changers that they can draw from, and they're picking 20. And I just didn't do that great.
Yeah. Do you feel like that you were more of a Lynn favorite? Like, do you feel like, does it hurt you to go back if Lynn isn't there anymore?
No, I think it actually helps me.
Helps you.
Yeah. For a number of years, I could not get past Lynn.
Yeah.
It pitched and it was a no. It was a no. It was a no every time. And then I may have said this last time I was here, but I ended up never getting invited to finals by the fact that I just lived right by the hotel. My casting producer, she was just like, can you just show up? And so Lynn didn't even speak to me the first time I met her, because she was like, who the fuck is this?
I don't have
a card.
Yeah.
No, she just was like, I don't know him. He's not on the list. Why is he here? And I did my spiel and she was like, no, you need to go home. And she sent me home. And then, of course, it was a disaster a couple days later when they went to network, and then I got invited back. So I think in the end I ended up being I think Lynn liked me okay, and I liked Lynn. She was always nice to me after that, but yeah, it was a hard sell with Lynn for a long time.
Okay. But the producers on the beach, they enjoyed you.
Some of them
did. Okay.
There were a couple I didn't get along with.
Okay. But the fans,
the ones that matter,
the fans wanted you back.
Did they?
somebody does, right? I do.
I don't know. I think it would be a blast. I have concerns because the psychological and physical toll that playing the game takes is tremendous. I've had a lot of mental issues since the game.
Like angst.
Angst, you know, it's tough. I've got a few friends that are super big fans of the show, and they're always trying to apply, and they're like, oh, can you send my video? Can you put in a good word for me? And it's like, you know what? In a lot of ways, you see behind the curtain, and it's 100% real, and it's even cooler in real life, but it still ruins the magic of watching it on TV just a little bit. And then, you know, there's also the disappointment, right? I go on the show, and you grow up. I've seen every season. I grew up watching it as a kid. Started watching when I was 8. and you go on and then you don't make the merge. And so there's a lot of devastation in there. It was hard for a while, and I'm just getting back into it. And I'm excited about this season, and it's been fun so far. But for a while, it was very frustrating. It was also really hard to get to go on the show, meet all these new people, and be exactly who I wanted to be. I wanted at that point to be a grad student, not a law student, and to be not stuck in that law school world. And I got a chance to get out of that, and it was amazing. And I felt like I did before I had started law school. And then I had to go back to school, and then no one knew what I did all summer. And so it was just this like big secret. And so, yeah, it was a lot of depression, not wanting to be there and back and forth. And it's tough. And then, I mean, I still have stomach issues.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I was only on the show for 19 days, but my body is still just messed up.
You got a bug when you were out there, or did you?
I did. Well, I was constipated too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's made it really tough. And then
you had a hospital visit right after after you got out of the game. Right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. And that was bad. And then, I just don't know that it's super healthy to lose 18 pounds in 19 days. And then it comes back weird. And I've got problems with my adrenal system. It's either I feel like really high or really low. There's just not that just normal everyday thing very often. And so, yeah, it's a lot of recovery time, actually. And having talked to people that have played multiple times, it just gets worse.
Gets worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
From a lot that I've talked to.
All right. You talked me out of it, Bradley. I'm not going back now.
But at the same time, it is. It's like a drug. Where you're kind of like, well, that's really fun. I would love to do it. And you wonder if you can do better. So, of course, I would say yes, but I don't think it's happening.
Okay. All right. Bradley, I have a voicemail for you. This is from one of our listeners. Okay. Chase. Chase has a question for Bradley.
Hi, Robin Bradley. There is a lot of discussion following the tribal council last night as to whether Lauren and those in the middle of the tribe should have made this flip on the cool kids. But what I'm wondering is, can we even think of this as a flip? Because this is the very first time the tribe has gone to tribal council. So none of the alliances have been solidified, and the tribe dynamic isn't really set in stone. So my question is, why wouldn't those people in the middle take control of the tribe? Because they're not actually really betraying anybody. They're just setting the tone for what this tribal phase is going to look like. So what do you think?
Was this a flip?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think you can call it a flip when you don't know where the lines are drawn, because you don't know where things are until you go to tribal council. This was the first time that they went. Now you know where things stand. I mean, you can have a general idea like, I think I'm with you, Rob, but until we vote, do I know if you're actually with me?
Mm-hmm.
No,
right.
I don't. And so this gives you an idea. What I imagine was possibly happening is they saw these three getting stronger and closer, and they were still at the point, having not voted before, where they could get rid of Molly and bring them back in. Or I think Tommy's going to still be able to keep hold of Jack. That's my hunch, just from what we've seen with the two of them so far in these two episodes. And it's a smart move. You see them getting closer and away from the rest of the group, and you can bring a couple of people back in. So I don't think it's a flip. And I think the middle is in control of the game. And
yeah.
I think they were anyway. I think it was a good marketing ploy to sell everyone we got these cool kids, you know, because what do? It's what you do in politics. It's what you do in Survivor. It's us versus them. It's the best way to rally the troops is, oh no, we are nothing like them.
So the reason why
it's basically the same,
I don't love the move for the quote unquote middle was that, you know, you don't know when a swap is coming now. And so you could be one of these middle people and then you get into a swap and now you get swapped with, say, you're on a tribe of three, one of the three tribes, and you're on a tribe with like Jamal or Jack. And now all of a sudden you've crossed them. You know, you took Molly out, but they're still in the game. Nobody was mad at you if you took out Jason or Nora at that first vote. But now you have the swap And now Jamal is saying, like, well, I mean, if you guys want to vote Rob, I'll vote Rob out tonight. I don't care. You know, he's already somebody that voted that didn't vote with me at the first tribal council. So I just think that you have more options in terms of, like, I don't know if Molly was that much of an imminent threat to break that up, where that, you know, now there's a lot of things where, you know, you have to protect yourself against the bad luck also.
Yes, I agree with that. But at the same time, if you now you've voted and saved Nora and Jason, so you swap with them, they're likely to stick with you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's that big of a loss in the event of a swap. But if Nora and Jason aren't with you in the swap, then yeah, you're toast, because then you just lost two more people. But mm-hmm. It could work out to being a wash.
I think. You're just now a little bit more of a fractured group, as opposed to if you were going to then just move forward as, you know, eight strong, and then have just, you know, Nora or Jason as the one person who's out of the loop. And look, as a viewer, as a podcaster, I loved it. It was great. Yes. It was perfect. More of this, please. Every vote should be this exciting. But I think if I was out there, I'd say, I think it's probably better to stick with the numbers here, as opposed to really shake up the snow globe this early.
Yes, but if we were out there, we would probably know that there are other alliances we don't quite know about within that group. And, mm-hmm. and maybe it was possible those three were never three on their own.
Yeah. Okay.
To play devil's advocate a little bit.
Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. wants to know, who would Bradley want as his cohort in the tribal council balcony seat? So, okay, if you were in that booth with somebody, who would it be? Who would be sitting in there with you?
My goodness, let me think of who I mostly get in trouble with.
Yeah, who would...
In terms of just being completely...
Who would be the
rude.
Person...
I might have to pick Morgan from my season.
Morgan Rickey, that recently married Morgan Rickey.
Yep. It might be because she thinks I'm really funny. So she loves when I talk shit about people. Mm-hmm. She thinks it's hilarious and eggs me on. So that could be fun.
Okay. Would she also be joining in?
Yeah, she probably would. Yeah. See, that's what you didn't get on the show that's so hilarious about Morgan is, you know, she comes across as very nice and then she lets it fly too. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get to see enough of Morgan.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people say that about people all the time, but Morgan was a gem we lost too soon.
Yeah, I think that would be really fun. You're in the booth. Something's happening at Tribal Council.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be good.
Absolutely.
Do you think, would you be able to notice Rob and Sandra? That would you be able to spot them at the Tribal Council?
I don't know. I wonder if, right, so you're at Tribal and those lights are so bright in your face. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's light surrounding them to the point where it just looks dark.
Yeah.
That's my hunch.
Would you then at like a future tribal council be like looking all around to see where like all these little like hideout booths might be?
Yeah, why not now?
Yeah, now you gotta go look.
But I have to say, the two of them in that little booth thing commenting about everyone is great. I mean, I worry that it allows the producers to help the audience pick their favorites or pick opinions on people, mm-hmm. which they do anyway through the editing, but this is more explicit, like,
yeah.
Oh, this person's smart. Like, mm-hmm. okay, thank you. We couldn't come to that conclusion on our own.
Right.
But, you know, or this person got played. You know, it's like, yeah, we can see that. She got blindsided. She didn't know she was going home, but thank you, Captain Obvious. So that part's kind of a bummer, but at the same time, their reactions are so hilarious. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason those two have been on the show so many times. They're entertaining, and their reactions and comments are great TV.
Okay. Dan Sinensky wants to know, Bradley, were you a geek in high school or were you at the cool kids table? I could see either one. Also, are you tired of the freaks and geeks / cool kids / high school being used to describe the social dynamics of Survivor? Are we only getting freaks and geeks talk because Mike White wrote for that show and played a main character's brother?
So Survivor is kind of high school.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. Have you had a friendship with Mike White? Is he one of the people that you hang out with from Survivor?
He's not. I've met Mike and I've hung out with him once, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's super nice. Fun. He has a cool house. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, I don't think he...
You went to his house?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you.
Well, a group of us met there and then we went to the bar. But,
okay.
Yeah, no, he was super nice.
Super nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was cool.
That's what I've experienced also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfectly lovely, but I really do. I think Survivor is like a bad high school.
It's a bad high school.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean like a bad high school?
It's just clicky.
Yeah, it's clicky.
It is for sure.
Yeah.
It is to a large extent a popularity contest. And I think especially, you know, where we're trying to break down the strategy and stuff, we don't want to buy into the narrative that a lot of it is your impression of people and who you like hanging out with and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I think it plays a big part in, you know, who do you like socializing with? Who's fun to hang out with because there's so much downtime. I mean, Survivor's tremendously boring.
Right.
And so if you don't like the people that you're hanging out with, then you probably don't want to be around them.
So can anything be done about that? Like by the players? Can players come in and sort of like say, okay, this is the tribe culture that we want to have here where we don't want to have that? Or is that too much putting your neck out?
I think you can try.
Like, does the high school thing form because that is just like sort of like a little bit of like a natural order of things, and people like if people would step up more and say, no, we're not doing that, but then you're a big target to then sort of try to create that culture.
Yeah, I think you can stand up to a little bit, but I also think it is the natural order. It's the people that you're going to naturally gravitate to some people and gravitate away from others, and mm-hmm. and that's just kind of how it goes. But at the same time, it's, you know, it is clicky, but then, you know, you have a fire and in the evening you're all sitting around having a good time together too, so it's mm-hmm. it comes and goes.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, we can't forget about the survival element of this, especially. I mean, Fiji looks it is beautiful and it looks tropical on TV, but it's pretty cold, especially at night, at least the time of year that they film the show. And you know, so there is this element of, you know, who do I feel comfortable sleeping right up against so I can stay warm? And who, you know, do you just want to spend your time with while you're starving and uncomfortable? And, mm-hmm. and it does, it plays a part.
Yeah,
for sure.
Bradley, right before we came on, I posted a picture on. Yes.
I was going to say, I was not cool in high school.
Oh, okay. See, I would have thought you were.
As if there was any question.
I
don't think there was.
Yeah. Okay. So
I did do the announcements in high school. That was fun.
I did too.
It was so much fun.
What did you say?
Good morning, Hazel High School. These are your announcements for Thursday, October 3rd.
Yeah. Would you put like jokes in there?
Definitely not.
Oh, no jokes.
No.
What would you do?
Just read the announcements.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then tell them to have a lovely day.
Have a lovely day. Okay. Yep. Could you give us the Survivor announcements? Like, could I give you like the RHAP announcements at the end of the show?
Absolutely. Okay. I would love that.
All right. Are you interested in being the announcer for Rob as a podcast?
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what we could use you for. So right before we came on, I went on Instagram and I said, let me post a picture here with Bradley.
Did you get a bunch of comments?
Well, I haven't looked at my phone. We've been talking. And so let's see. I've got some responses from survivors. Maybe not a ton of questions. Bryce Isaiah said, I'm so jealous. There you go. Now, aww. Are you and Bryce okay? Are you good? You guys are good?
Yeah, I mean, we managed the breakup of our relationship.
Yes, but you're still cordial.
Yes, for sure. I love Bryce.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tyler Fredrickson wants to know, do you still like the Dirty 30, or does that go against everything you stand for?
Yeah, I like all the Dirty 30 I've met.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, Tyler's cool.
Yes. Have you rewatched San Juan del Sur yet, or are you still wrong about Natalie? Did you say something bad about Natalie Anderson?
I did.
What'd you say
last time? Who? Which Natalie did I pick over that Natalie? I can't remember now, but I got people all fired up.
Okay,
per usual, but
I think we ranked the Survivor Natalie.
We
Cole
did, and who did I rank out first? I can't remember.
I think that you might have put her maybe last, or like out of the Survivor Natalies.
Oh no, I would have picked Natalie Cole first.
Yes,
yes, and I put Natalie Anderson second.
Have you kept up with Natalie Cole?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how much she keeps up with Survivor.
No, I don't think she's around much.
I did an Instagram live when I was in the backyard for Big Brother, and she was in there, and she was saying that she was like typing in the chat, and she was saying that she watches Big Brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was...
She's super nice.
I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is a question.
Oh, yeah, but I have not watched San Juan del Sur. Okay. Back again.
And we probably can't rank the Survivor Mollies, right? That's it. She's the only Molly.
You'd have to show me the pictures.
She's the only... I think she's the only Molly.
Is she?
I don't think... I think there's only one Survivor Bradley. Only one Survivor Bradley. Okay. Who from the pre-merge of Ghost Island does Bradley want to see play Survivor again? That's from RM Flynn on Instagram.
Morgan.
Okay.
I think she would actually do really great at the game. I think she would have a lot of potential.
Would be gunning for her.
No, like, I think she has a lot of potential to pull a Wentworth.
She was sort of targeted in sort of a weird set of circumstances, and it was she got unlucky, and she would probably do probably well. A lot of people picked her to go very far in your season.
I mean, yeah, I was aligned with her. I thought she was going to do great.
Mm-hmm.
I was really bummed that she didn't make it farther. But then once I got voted out, I was really glad she was on the trip with me.
But she was fun.
Yeah, she was my roommate.
Okay.
The rest of them hated me.
All right. This is from Onge Bartlett says, what are your thoughts on staying up all night working if it meant your beach wouldn't be dirty?
I'm not staying up all night.
You're not going to stay up all night?
No.
Yeah. This is Taylor Milzura wants to know, what was your reaction to all the amazing Wandoff songs that were written about you? Didn't
we already talk about this at the beginning? Yeah, it's too triggering.
You weren't flattered. You weren't flattered by any of the Wandoff.
It was a lot.
It was too much.
Yeah, it's a weird thing about being on TV is there's just a lot of input about yourself that comes from every direction from everyone you don't know, and it gets to be a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
It's not very natural.
All right. So that was on Instagram. If you guys like that, some more of that. Aaron Jakes, well, so after two episodes, is Purple Dean a thing? Now, you played with Purple Chelsea on your season. Yes.
Yes,
you did.
She voted me out.
She was one of the
people. So I feel like 2 years out, I can give her a little bit of credit for that now.
Yes, because you've evolved. Because you've evolved as a person.
Yeah, and then I felt bad. The other day, I realized I wasn't following her on Instagram, and she was following me. So then I felt like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
So
does anyone care if I get stuff on theirs when I'm sprinkling mine?
Let's go.
She was criminally boring on the show. Oh, my God.
Okay, so then... is Purple Dean a thing, or is this like it's two episodes, everybody needs to cool it with the purple stuff?
So here's the interesting thing about Dean. I met him last night. He's like 5 foot nothing.
Yeah,
I was shocked. Someone was like, oh, Dean's over there, and I'm like, Dean looks like a big dude on TV, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out where Dean was, and then I realized he was one of the munchkins in the corner. So there's that. But yeah, I think it's a thing.
Okay.
I will say he was very nice, and he didn't hit me as somebody that couldn't speak. I mean, he's a sales guy. He works for YouTube, so he's well-spoken. He's charismatic. So, yeah, it could turn around. I guess it could be like Allison, right, from 37?
Yes.
The doctor, who was very quiet, and then she got a little bit more, or we could just never see anything from him.
I mean, it's too early. It's too early. Stop it, everybody, with the purple, purple everybody.
I mean, he's in the running. If there's going to be someone that's purple... He's a pretty good one to bet on.
It's a 20-person season. Boston Rob is there. Sandra is there. It's like, there's going to be some people that are.
Who else didn't we hear from? Karishma and...
Yeah, we didn't
hear from last night. I am saying that right?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth?
Yeah.
But she had a big episode one.
She had a big episode one.
So, yeah, it seems like it's just Dean. Okay. Not a good sign. When you have a 90-minute episode and only two, like, things they have to spend time on.
Yeah, you think Dean might not win.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my winner's pick, Chelsea.
Chelsea. Okay. Well, that was my winner pick, too.
Okay.
And Josh Wiggler now. We're all on the Chelsea bandwagon.
Well, you guys are smart.
Yeah. Okay. Nick Snow wants to know, do either of you know if Cumin is part of the Survivor Spice Reward pack? if so, are you excited for an entire segment of Elaine trying Cumin for the first time?
You know, yes, I would be very excited for that segment, but I wonder that it might not be part of it because you notice the spices didn't come in a limo.
Yeah.
And I hear that's how that spice is delivered. So
yes,
maybe
yes.
Not.
Cumin is like a yellow reddish spice that you put in food. You can put it on whatever you want, a coconut.
That must be some sea. The line, I never heard of that.
Now, are you a Grey Poupon guy?
No.
No, you don't like that.
No.
Are you any mustard?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Why? Because you have to wear a lot of white shirts for work?
No.
Okay.
No.
You just don't like mustard?
I'm not a fan, no.
What about a hot dog? We put ketchup on a hot dog?
Yeah.
Ketchup.
What's wrong with ketchup?
What are you, six?
Yeah, sometimes I act like it. This morning, the secretary called me and our office manager, 12-year-old girls, because we were just laughing about Instagram instead of working.
Like so. Rob and Sandra in the booth.
Yo, that's exactly how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we don't always behave, but...
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right. What'd you think about the episode title this week? It's called YOLO Let's Play. Are you a YOLO guy?
I don't say YOLO, but I actually do think
you live by the YOLO philosophy.
I think so. Yeah, that's why I have such a hard time just now... going to work and not wondering, okay, what's next? Like graduated from law school, passed the bar, like check, you know, mm-hmm. I've been an attorney now for a year. Check. Do I keep moving or what do I do? So yeah, I'm kind of like that. I think you should exhaust all options. Not, it takes a lot of guts to keep fighting, to have new experiences, have new adventures. You know, try stuff you've always wanted to try, even though you're from a comfortable spot. Right. So yeah, YOLO.
Why? What's the next thing for you that's going to get you to an uncomfortable spot?
You know, I have nothing planned right now. Right now, there's still...
Don't you need something?
There's still the novelty of making quite a lot of money and being able to just eat whatever I want when I go to the grocery store.
This
is the thing, right? As a student...
What are the groceries that you would like to get that are out of your reach right now?
Well, so I shop at Whole Foods now instead of Ralph's or Kroger or
Trader
Smith's
Joe's?
Or King Super, depending on what
Trader Joe's guy.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
But no, it's just instead of right, your student, I would get my basket and it was like, okay, I'm going to try to spend like $20 to $25 for the week on groceries.
Yes.
And it's like, well, those are $3.75. That's going to get me to that $20 too quickly. And so I shouldn't get that. And so, you know, and to where now it's like, yeah, I want this.
You doing organic now?
Tastes good. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes. But you know what I mean? So
you're almost there.
There's still that novelty of being able to go or going out to dinner with a friend. So, you know, I live right by the airport and all the survivors have their free tickets to Fiji. And so I've had a number of people that come stay with me for the day because they fly in at, let's say, noon.
Oh,
and then their flight is until midnight to go to Fiji. And so I'll pick them up and we'll go to the beach and we'll have fun. And then, you know, but it's fun. So I've taken a couple of them, you know, Morgan and her new husband, John, flew in and they were going to Fiji on their honeymoon. Oh. So I took them to dinner and it's just like, it's really fun to be able to just toss your card on and be like, I got it. Who cares?
All right. So did you go out to Morgan's wedding?
I did.
How was that? There was a lot of survivors there, right?
It was so much fun. Yeah. There were, I think, nine of us from Ghost Island. It was
all from Navidi.
No, Brendan and James were there.
Okay.
And so was Gonzalez.
Okay.
But they were all on the trip with Morgan and I. So,
mm-hmm.
Morgan and me, sorry. And
Stephen Fishback's not listening. You're fine.
And so we just had to talk about that at work today. Not about me, but about somebody else. Kept saying it wrong. So now I'm all conscious about it, but,
mm-hmm.
It was a blast. Yeah. Wendell was there. Dom was there. Kellen, Noble.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blast. It's so much fun to hang out with that crowd. Especially because from that group, most of us have, you know, normal jobs and normal lives. And so it's fun to get together because we're all kind of doing the same thing in a way. It's just a blast. I love them.
Yeah.
It was such a incredible experience going on Survivor. And it's fun now because there's no bullshit about they're going to vote you out or, you know,
that's right.
Worrying about being like, okay, I'm tired. I want to go take a nap, but I don't want to leave these three people, you know, at the table by the pool drinking alone because what are they going to say? It's like, who cares? And just hang out. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the wedding was awesome, right? Because Morgan works at SeaWorld. Maybe everyone's sick of the wedding, so I could stop. But Morgan works at SeaWorld, so there was a SeaWorld contingent, and they're super fun. I've gone and stayed with Morgan a few times now, so I had met most of them, and so they're a blast. and then there was the Survivor contingent, and then her husband is an NBA scout for the Knicks. And so there were a bunch of giraffes on his side of the room, and so then they were their own wild contingent. So you had these like three dueling parties of just crazy people. And it was a
three
blast.
Tribes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The survivors would have won.
Okay. Bradley, Addison wants to know, with pilots and passengers, and now all these different gears, how many more transportation themed analogies will we get in the coming seasons?
I don't know, but I'm waiting for someone to make a joke about someone on Survivor being like the Boeing 737 Max.
Oh, no. Yeah. You have to wait a while for that. What about a sail? Can you make a sailing metaphor for Survivor?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I would, you know, there would be great wind and I was sailing right along on Survivor and doing really great. And then the wind died and I fell right in the water.
Okay, so you need not only to be in the boat, but you have to have the wind at your back, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That makes it more comfortable.
Okay. All right.
More impressive if the wind's in front of you.
Can you help me out with something? Because that last week, Elaine talked about how she was going to be going commando out on potentially on the beach.
We do a challenge. Remind me to put my drawers on. If not, we're just going to go commando.
Go commando. And then she said something else, but it got censored. And I still don't know what she said. And I've been trying to get to the bottom of this mystery.
I'll be in the free world.
I'll be blank in the free world. I've gotten a lot of suggestions. I talked about this on the podcast with Puya and with Jordan Kalish last week. I got a lot of suggestions, but nothing fits because I don't think that any of all these other suggestions that I keep hearing, there would be words in the front that wouldn't have to be bleeped.
I have no idea. What did
she say that couldn't be on TV?
I'll be in the free world.
I'll be blank in the free world.
I have no idea.
And it was so dirty that we couldn't even hear it on TV.
Yeah, see, I mean, things come to mind in reference of like being naked, but why would you bleep
you don't have
that
to bleep
out?
That.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to bleep that. Yeah. I mean, that they let Survivor say, you know, a ton of stuff on this.
Dom called me a son of a bitch, I think, and it didn't get bleeped out.
Yeah, not just that, but you yourself... on Survivor, I believe did you not say that that you were a I'm saying on it was on TV, but did you not say that you were a dick on Survivor?
Yeah, I guess I did say that. You have to realize I've only very half watched my own season.
Yeah,
I mean everything I've seen of myself, I think is hilarious.
Yeah, but this is what you said.
For me, the hardest test out here is like to not be a total dick.
So, at that point, that was the total test.
What did Elaine say that we couldn't hear? It keeps me up at night.
I don't know.
I'll be in the free world.
I've got no idea. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
But I think it's hilarious. She was talking about, you know,
being
very, very normal, commando. Very normal Survivor discussions. But when they make it on TV, it's just not normal at all.
That's what people don't understand. When you're on Survivor, you know, you talk about these things. They come up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of things you talk about on Survivor that are just very weird if they were ever be on TV.
You wouldn't talk about them in your office.
Maybe
you'd
not.
Have a talking maybe. To at your office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, it's things like, right? You want to keep your underwear dry and you want to keep your pants dry, but
keep everything dry.
Well, yeah, but so you've got to rotate them. You know, sometimes you are wearing your pants with no underwear.
Yeah. How absorbent is cumin, Bradley?
I'm going to guess not absorbent.
Not absorbent.
All.
Okay. All right. And then Kelly, lots of ease, wants to know, how do you feel about seeing the purple and orange combo again as a cocky TV character? Do you think the I'm so comfortable with my position cocky edit is something the show could tack onto any player if they wanted to? Or are those moments justifiable in how people act in the game? What do you think about the purple and the orange?
I mean, it feels like those are colors they pick all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got blue, we got red, we got yellow, we got purple, we got orange.
It does seem like historically, like they match up like the same colors. I don't know if it's necessarily from like there's some sort of a color chart of like they do the like red versus blue, orange versus purple. You know, they reuse like I feel like the same like this color versus.
Well, because I think
color.
They have to be contrasting enough that when they're racing around out on those challenges, you don't forget who's who.
Yeah, I guess so.
But they also make you match in color clothing now. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it seems like you would get less confused. But I think they can make anyone look cocky. Although, I'm not denying I was cocky out there.
Okay. Is orange versus purple, does that get in people's heads when you put the orange buff on or the purple buff on?
Yeah, I think it was Chelsea who tweeted this week trying to overthrow the orange curse or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more whoever gets stuck on that godforsaken beach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the actual curse.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Do you bond with the survivors that play on that beach about the...
I feel like we're all on that beach because they swap you 800 fucking times while you're out there. So everyone's on that beach and everyone comes back and they're either like, oh no, it was fine. You're just a complainer. Or
yeah.
They're like, oh my God, the ants were terrible. They were all over.
The ants.
It's like,
see, I feel like I don't hear a lot about the ants.
The ants were so bad.
Yeah.
It was just like they didn't bite you. No, they didn't bite. There were so many of them crawling on you all the time that it was just like you have ants like running across your face or you know, in your hair, down your back. It got to like where you didn't feel them. Yikes. Sometimes, but then there were other times where you're just like
when you're sleeping or when you're walking around.
Not when you're just sitting by the fire and stuff. When you're sleeping, you're asleep. But that camp also has these stupid fucking bats that drop out of the trees onto your shelter. So we ended up with bats in our shelter a few times. It's windy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really interesting. You know, and I don't know what.
And the other beach doesn't have any of that.
No.
Okay.
It's calm.
Yeah.
It's warm. Right.
Yes. Let me picture myself
it's
there.
It's cold out there.
Yeah.
It's not as warm as you think it would be, especially at night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was freezing. I guess it's like here, Rob, right? It gets down to like 65 and we all start putting our down jackets on.
Layers.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's cold to sleep outside.
Right.
And so, yeah, the one beach is a whole lot warmer. So I'd be interested what the actual breakdown of like challenge wins based on beach mm-hmm. actually is.
I'm sure we could put somebody to work on that.
Yeah. If somebody wants to do that, I would, I don't know. I'll give you something.
Yes.
Because I would be curious. Because I really have a hunch that it's not fair. Because that was the source of my complaining, where you get the infamous sand and dirt comment, which is all just spliced up together,
mm-hmm.
You know, to make a soundbite for TV. But my actual complaint was that I just felt it was so inherently unfair because it was so windy at night. We couldn't sleep and it was mm-hmm. so cold. The other beach, it wasn't. And it was more what you saw was just the little bit of complaining about that I did on that day. I mean, I complained all the time, but on that one particular day, that was the bit of complaining I did in front of the camera. Cause most of the time I was behind the camera yelling at the producer, telling her that this was bullshit. I was like the fair police out there.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, I was the one we would sit there and
it's good to be fair.
We would sit and we would complain about something. And then I'd be like, well, I'm going to bring this up with Mr. Probst.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, you know, I had no problem going up to them and complaining.
Right. Okay. This was how Bradley felt about that beach.
I just want to be back in a beach.
Well, you guys have like dirt.
Yeah.
Sand everywhere. Dirty.
Okay. That's Bradley, the last time you were here, you brought some maple syrup.
Yeah, did you guys like it?
Yeah, we used it all. My kids eat a lot of waffles.
Yeah, you probably should have saved it for you and Nicole.
Well,
it's the good stuff.
Nicole's not a breakfast person. My wife is not a morning person at all.
Yeah, neither am I.
Yeah. Does your family makes the maple syrup?
Yeah, so my family makes the maple syrup. We have several hundred maple trees at my parents' house back in Michigan, and we've got the evaporator and a little shack thing.
Wow.
Yeah, we boil it. We make it. I think we usually make about 30 to 40 gallons.
Wow.
Yeah, it's delicious. I mean, I've grown so spoiled because, I mean, that's quite a lot of money in maple syrup. And so I can just get more out of the pantry anytime I go home.
Yeah. Okay, so maple syrup is one of the things that you were not yet able to buy at the Whole Foods.
Oh, I definitely was not. But now I put it in my coffee, instead of normal sugar because it tastes good. And I have access to it.
Okay.
It's great. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was a big hit.
It makes it very easy to give people gifts. Oftentimes you get maple syrup.
Yeah.
That's pretty standard.
Well, we appreciated it over here.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm out right now.
That's fine.
Because
it's fine.
It's a very difficult process ferrying it from Michigan out here.
I would imagine.
Wrap it in a lot of bubble wrap and
takes
stuff.
A lot of space. Yeah.
I've had it break a couple times in my suitcase and then your pants are all syrupy and it's a disaster.
I couldn't imagine. One a good reason to go commando when you're muling syrup from Michigan.
Okay. The lane.
All right, Bradley, what's next for you? You're back at work. You have your notes also here. Did we cover everything that was in your notes?
Yeah, I think so. I just didn't want to forget what had actually happened.
Okay.
Because I got so much stuff going through my head. People are calling me all day long and. I probably have a caseload of
work stuff. Not like other survivors are like, hey, Bradley, make sure you talk about this.
No, not at
okay.
all.
Yeah.
No, just at work. I'm juggling so many things. I probably have 45 different cases. And so it's a lot going on. And so I have had to resort to writing everything down. But
that's a good plan.
What's next? I've been traveling quite a bit, but I'm in town now for until the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if there's any other comments that came in for you. Okay, let me see if anybody else.
This is your last chance, people.
Had anything new? Why you're done talking about the season?
No, I'll probably keep talking about it.
Okay,
now that I've done this, I'm out to get the spoilers.
No, okay, all right. Well, it's a good reason why we got you early.
I've remained unspoiled long enough.
Okay, this is Ray doesn't use hashtags on Instagram. My question would be something along the lines of, who will be this season's dick? But so far, the answer is clear. It's Aaron, though Jamal might have a similar attitude in the next episode.
I actually think Aaron handled his not knowing what was going on at Tribal better than most people would.
Yeah.
He was obviously upset. But I think he was trying his best, even if maybe he's not the best actor in the world, to ingratiate himself back into the group and recover. So I don't think he did a bad job. I was impressed by that. That struck me. Jamal, I don't know what's going on with him. He's snoozing. He's not taking his bag to Tribal, which I think is bold. And it's interesting. In the Tribals I went to, never once did someone not take their bag.
That is ballsy for the first Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to end up going on the trip, so I hope he takes his bag.
Yeah. I think if I was Jamal and they said, like, Jamal didn't even take his bag, it's like, you got to be honest. First Tribal Council, I didn't know everybody takes their bag. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but is he quick and bright enough to do that?
I don't know. I mean, I think that he's a smart guy. I mean, I think...
What does he do? I don't.
He does something with schools. He's like works with
admissions or something.
Yeah, I think so. Something with a school.
I don't know. I don't think we have anybody in the running quite yet.
Okay.
To be the deck. Who's the villain? I don't think we have anyone, do we?
I don't think we have a villain yet.
That's okay. It's a tough crowd to hang with us. So
that's right. All right.
Good luck.
Well. Bradley, so much fun that I'm, again, I want to thank you again. You sat in how much traffic to get here?
About like an hour and 45 minutes.
Well, what do you do in the car? You listen to any other podcasts?
I don't. I usually listen to music.
Music. What's the music of choice?
I listen to whatever station doesn't have the commercials on. Or, usually...
FM radio?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you.
I've got a Prius, so I don't have the fancy satellite, whatever.
Yeah.
I've toyed with getting a Tesla, but I kind of like my really low car payment.
Yes.
I'm saving up for a boat. So yes. I feel like I'd rather have a boat than a fancier car.
But you don't check out any, I'm not even saying like fishing for RHAP stuff, but there's no like other podcasts. Like, well, what are your interests?
I listen to Pod Save America.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty open about the fact that I'm fairly liberal.
Yes.
So I do enjoy that. Although I try to stay away from political commentary as much as possible. I'd prefer to read it, read the news articles myself and make my own opinions.
Okay.
Because I think there's too much of people not giving their own opinions thought. They're just taking whatever whoever they like's opinion, they put on the jersey. Spouting out whatever they saw on Bill Maher last week or whatever, or Fox News. So no, I don't really listen to a whole lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Actually.
Okay. But forget podcasts. Like, what are your other interests?
My other interests, I like to go sailing. I like to go hiking. I like to go out to the bar. I like to go to dinner. I mean, that's what's also kind of tough about being in the working world now. And of course, anybody listening to this who goes to work every day or listening to this at work will totally understand. And they'll be like, you privileged kid, like, welcome to the real world. But it's like, you know, I get up and I start my work email at home, and then I go to work, and then I get home at, you know, usually any time between, like, if I'm home by 6:30, that's a good day.
Okay.
Usually it's 8:00. And then what do? You want to sit and watch TV, because I spend all day reading and writing. So the last thing I want to do is...
What's a show that you like?
I actually watch a lot of YouTube sailing channels.
YouTube sailing channels?
Yeah.
Okay. What about a movie? What's a movie that you like?
What did I just watch? I just watched Booksmart last weekend. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
I liked that. I went and saw The Goldfinch. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a travesty.
So Al Gore, I hear big things are happening. The main guy.
Yeah, okay. The movie wasn't that great. But the real travesty of this was I went and I was the youngest one in that movie theater by like 30 years. It was a bunch of old Jerrys. And
old Jerrys?
Geriatric people. And sorry, I'm an elder care attorney. So I can make these jokes, but they're all sitting there, and during the movie they're talking to each other and texting, and of course their font is so fucking big from four rows away. I can see what they're texting, and they're like, "Oh honey, I'm at the movie, I'll be home later." I asked them repeatedly, like, "Shut the fuck up. I'm done."
Well, were they talking or they were texting?
Yes, they were talking too.
Talking and texting. Blah,
blah, blah. And then this one lady starts eating this caramel corn or this crinkly bag, and I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I just spent $30 to go see this movie at the ArcLight, and
so the they were,
and you're ruining it.
Too loud."
And of course, you know, it's those people that sit around. They're like, "Those millennials, they're so terrible. They're always on their phones. They're awful." And it's just
you weren't.
Yeah, it was like, you know, have some decency. Put your phone away.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, you know.
Yeah,
come on.
See, I feel like you had a good point, but then you talk about that you're eating popcorn too loud. Is that a thing?
Caramel corn in a crinkly bag?
Yeah, that's...
I would have been fine with that.
That would have been fine.
But at that point, I was irate. I really wanted...
Were they texting about them? Not the movie?
No, they were just like, "Oh, I'll be back at 8:30. The movie will be out and stuff." It's like nothing they needed to text about. And the one lady had her phone so it would light up every time she got a text message. And then she... You know, do it like, "Oh, I gotta move it out so that it gets in focus with my readers." It was too much. I mean, they absolutely ruined the movie, and that's why I don't go to the movies anymore. Okay. Really, it's like I can sit there with my TV at the foot of my bed. I've got this great setup because I have this tiny little apartment, so my TV's at the foot of my bed. I've got the Bose like sound bar, and I'd rather just pay $5 to rent the movie at home.
Okay, all right, and just saying, you can watch all the sailing YouTube channels.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're not necessarily great. I get made fun of for it.
Who's the sailing YouTube person to follow? Give a shout out.
Sailing with Vagabond's great. Sailing Zatara, Wicked Salty is awesome. Finding Avalon, I've been watching right now. And I mean, it's weird, but so I want to buy a boat and sail around the world. That's what I've always wanted to do, and so that's what these people are doing.
And you'll do it
a
lot solo?
No, I take people with.
Will you hire Seabass and Jenna?
Seabass and
work on
Seabass
your boat.
And Jenna are most definitely invited, but no, they will not. I won't be having
them
that kind of boat.
In the lower decks.
Not at all.
Okay.
No, I think
you will invite them to join you on the main deck.
Yes. I think before I do that, it would require getting a girlfriend that knows how to sail. So, you know, I have someone to go with.
Is there a sailing dating app?
So here's the thing about sailing. It's mostly dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find like the 1 out of 100, which is the sailor chick, she's like a very hot commodity. So I'm going to have to train somebody.
Could you meet a woman and then train her to...
I feel like train is the wrong word to be using for this.
But I mean, you teach her.
Kellen is going to call me after she listens, and then she'd be like, "You are not to refer to women as training them."
No, I don't think that's a man-woman thing. Yes. You could train anybody.
Let's say,
you could train me to sail.
Let's say teach.
Teach, okay.
Yes, I think I'll end up having to teach, probably teach her to sail. Yes, for sure. But
okay.
You know, I was a sailing instructor for 8 summers. Okay. So,
are you? If there are any of our listeners that are
absolutely
women,
slide into those DMs or sail into those DMs. absolutely. I think that would be hilarious. So, yeah, those channels are good though.
Okay.
I mean, well, no. So I tried to show Kellen one last week, and she was in town for the premiere, and we were hanging out or whatever, and I was like, "Oh, you go to watch it. I've been watching this, you know, this new sailing channel, and I'm like, it's pretty good. Although she has a history of thinking they're ridiculous. And so we turn them on and she's like, this is awful.
Yeah.
You know, it's like most of these people don't have like the thing covering their microphone. So it's just all like windy all the time. Yeah, so it's like watching a really long Instagram story of someone in nature.
I am playing Kellen in the Survivor Fantasy Football League this week.
You'll probably win. Last time I feel like I saw that, she was, what, about in last, and you were doing a little bit better, but still rather piss poor?
I'll say, bless her heart when it comes to the fantasy football.
Yeah, I don't think she actually watches really football.
Yeah. but bless her heart.
I'm still going to have to root for her, though.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll see. The projections are not in her favor at the moment. Oh, it's close. It's actually good, very close.
It's
actually
not close. A good sign for her.
All right. All right. Bradley.
This was awesome. Thank you so much for having me on, Rob. I appreciate it.
Bradley, I wish I had printed out the announcements for you to be able to read them, but that's not going to stop me from telling you guys that Shannon Gates is going to be on our next podcast. We're going to talk about everything that's going on with this episode that we didn't get to today. Believe it or not, yeah, there's probably a bunch of things. Send in your voicemails. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. You can also email survivor@robiswebsite.com for that. Then get your wiggle room. I know that Bradley does not care for the wiggle room.
I love Wiggler.
You love
not the wiggle
you room. Love Josh Wiggler. What was it that they said on the
I don't remember, honestly. I don't listen to that much stuff. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
I used to listen to this show, the recap, the know-it-all. Right. It's constantly.
Do you tell the new players like, hey, listen, don't listen to the podcasts?
No, I don't tell them that, but I think it's healthier to a degree, right? I'm to the point where it's not what lives in my mind and
you don't
my thoughts 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
because it was for a really long time, and it's actually super nice that it's out, and I feel like it's a healthy balance again.
Right. I feel like that if I was ever like on one of these shows, I feel like that it would, I do feel like I would listen to everything, but I really feel like that the healthiest thing is just like, don't listen to everything, but like the stuff that like bubbles up to the, like that goes viral enough. Sure. Check that out.
Which is only why I know that some of the Wiggle Room songs were about me.
Yeah. I think that's the key. You don't need everything. People will get you the highlights.
Yo, for sure.
Yeah. So I think that's
usually the lowlights in my case.
Or the lowlights. But you want to know it's out there. Okay. Yes. That's what's coming up. So the Wiggle Room, and then Paul Ostleson is going to join us on This Week in Survivor History as well. So lots of great stuff coming up. Plus the B&B. Haley Strong is going to be on the B&B, and David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are going to tell us why Molly lost.
Yeah, poor Molly.
Yeah.
I feel for her.
Yeah, of course, all of this is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, Bradley. They're the people who make all of these shows happen because they are the people that they enjoy this content so much. They want to get even closer, get even more connected to everything that's going on in Rob Has a Podcast, and connect with the other people that care about these shows so much. That's how they found us, and we've got
you're kind of like a sailing YouTube channel because they're all on Patreon. Patreon.
Do you support any?
Absolutely not.
No,
But I'm very happy for you and your empire.
Yes. Okay.
I probably actually would be one of your patrons if I had not made it on the show.
Oh,
by
I appreciate
now.
That.
Yeah, because I did listen to it a bunch before I was on.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of great stuff. Patron Facebook groups. We've got our patron podcast feed, and we've got our patron pop socket right now. Bradley, check this out. You have one of these? You ever seen one of these?
I don't.
Yeah.
See, because I don't have a case. So do I want to commit?
Oh, look at you. You are. I feel like that. You live dangerously. You're out there with an iPhone and no case.
Well, let's be real. I can just go buy a new one if I ruin
it. Oh, okay. Not just Whole Foods. What do I care?
Listen,
I'll buy a new phone.
Somebody spends a lot of time designing this very nice phone.
Yeah.
And it's also gets too big if you put a big old case on it.
It's too bulky.
I'm on the move. I'm going in and out of the conference room and into work and all that stuff. And it just,
yeah, you're
it's,
like,
it's
you're,
too much.
You're like Elaine. You're going commando with the phone.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. This is you with the phone.
We do a challenge. Remind me to put my drawers on. If not, we're just going to go commando.
This is kind of like me in the office, right? Because I owe it. Well, with my shoes, because I get to work and I spend most of my day sitting in my office, not meeting with clients. Randomly, I'll have a meeting. And so I usually just like walk in my office and whip my shoes off into the back wall. And very dramatically.
Yeah.
And then I don't wear them and I walk around barefoot. And then that's kind of the joke. They're like, make sure you put your shoes on to meet the clients.
Wow, what a California law office. Bringing your dog, take off your shoes.
I wear flip-flops a lot.
Yeah.
I think I could probably wear shorts if I really wanted to push it. But I don't,
Okay.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, you're very well-dressed today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
These are actually sweatpants. So they're very comfortable.
Can we get that in the wide shot? Who knew?
What?
Who knew?
Well, I mean, they look like dress pants, but they're very comfortable. You could go hiking in them, for sure.
Okay. All right. Bradley, anything else you want to tell the listeners?
No. Stay awesome. And those of you that aren't awesome, be nice get to awesome. Me and then be yeah. awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. All right.
No, it's a lot of fun.
Bradley, thank
Survivor's
you
awesome.
So much. Be on the lookout for a all new Robin and Kevin Need a Podcast this weekend. We watched a movie called The Fanatic starring John Travolta, directed by Fred Durst.
Never heard of it.
Never. A lot of people didn't. And for good reason. It is not a good movie. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Rob has a website.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.